From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris. Since World War II, hundreds of military installations have dotted the remote reaches of Alaska, placed there during the Cold War in a defensive stance against the Soviet Union. Many of these sites are no longer active, the hulks of their rusting equipment and hazardous landfills the only legacy of the past. U.S. troops were never there alone. Alaska Natives have lived off the same land for thousands of years. Theirs is a tenuous existence. In a place so harsh and isolated, any change to the environment is a potential threat, and changes made by the military have some Native communities worried. The Yupik Eskimos of Hooper Bay fear abnormalities in local fish and wildlife may be related to contaminants brought there by the armed forces. There's no scientific evidence of any such harm, but there's also been very little study of the question. So as NPR's Elizabeth Arnold reports, the people of Hooper Bay are determined to find out themselves.
As the fading daylight glances off his cheekbones, Joseph Smart, an 82-year-old Yupik Eskimo, tells a story he's told 100 times before. He was seal hunting in the Bering Sea. Weather forced his party to camp for 4 days on a beach near Cape Romanzoff, an Air Force long-range radar site a few miles from the village. On the fourth day, he and the others became violently ill.
And during this time of this sickness they were experiencing, every time they were doing that, they'd be drinking a lot of... They said they drank a water from west of Cape from a little pond. And all of them got sick and...
So sick, they were flown by Air Force personnel 500 miles to Anchorage. One man died on the way, and the others, Smart says, were hospitalized for more than a week. The doctors couldn't pinpoint the cause and suggested botulism, but all they'd had was dried fish and boiled pond water for tea.
So what does he think happened?
He said he don't know, and it's still confusing, and he still wonders about till this day how his partner died or why they got sick.
That was more than 40 years ago. There were suspicions then about the military base on the hill, and even more now. Today, Smart's grandson still hunts seals as he did, but the radar site has been deactivated. The contaminants the military once used there are now common knowledge, but nothing is known about whether or how they might spread. The point man for the military's cleanup at Romanzoff and four other sites is Mike Rhodes. He spent years trying to reverse the distrust caused by the military's initial stance, which was secrecy.
It's a real challenge. You go into a village the first time and you're saying, "Hi, I'm from the government and I'm here to help you." It takes a while before they believe it.
They don't believe it yet in Hooper Bay. Hooper Bay is one of 50 small villages in the delta of the two largest rivers in Alaska, the Yukon and the Kuskokwim. It's a vast, watery landscape, a maze of ponds, lakes, and sloughs. But after flying several hours in a small plane, although it seems impossible, a tiny airstrip, mud roads, and a few dozen plywood houses appear below.
Good afternoon. Should be on the ground. 3 minutes, dropping off two people, a couple pieces of mail. Going straight to Bethel if you got anybody.
Small planes like this one and VHF radios are the only life links here. Transportation between villages is by boat during open water and by snowmobile and dog sled during freeze-up. Yupik Eskimos have lived out here for thousands of years, hunting seals, walrus, and whales, fishing for salmon, herring, and cod, gathering berries and roots. Even today, with regular air service, a school, and a store, the village still hinges on what the land provides. If the land cannot provide, the village can't exist. It's that simple. A few miles away, clearly visible atop a high bluff, is Cape Romanzoff, one of a dozen early warning sites constructed in the 50s as part of the Cold War buildup. The Air Force began cleaning up the site in the early 80s, capping landfills, digging up tanks, and treating contaminated soil. At the time, little was said about what was there. but a preliminary fish and wildlife study in 1991 confirmed the village's worst fears. It found elevated levels of PCBs and fuel in vole, fox, and fish samples. That's when Agatha Napoleon got started.
Yep, you too. Have a good morning.
In a small, wind-battered plywood office, Napoleon, a single mother of four, gathers data, both anecdotal and scientific. A slight woman with a determined look, she was a teenager when tumors began showing up in the codfish. The village, bewildered and scared, banned fishing in the Kokchik Bay near Romanzov. Between keeping the wood stove going and moving buckets around to catch dripping rainwater, she tirelessly takes on the Air Force, sometimes with humor.
I know it's a very bad joke, but during the initial meeting, we served salmon. And I told them it was from Kokchik Bay.
Did they eat?
Yeah, they did. They were very reluctant at first, but then I said it's a very bad joke.
In the midst of its own cleanup, the Air Force agreed to fund a more comprehensive study, but Napoleon and others insisted on designing it themselves and doing their own sampling, not only at the base, but near the village.
It's not decent or it's not respectful of our people to go on as we are doing and not know anything, especially what we are eating, drinking, and just breathing. So no, we'd have to be very backward people to not do this study.
Mike Smolin is a senior scientist with the World Wildlife Fund, which is providing technical assistance to the villages.
They want to be taught. They don't want somebody to do it for them.
Smolin says the concerns are legitimate.
When I think of radar sites, not having been in the military, I too can think of a person sitting there with real big headphones, wearing real thick glasses, staring at something going around with little blips on them. And it seems very harmless and in a way reassuring that someone is watching out for our safety. But it has to be kept in mind that these radar sites are state-of-the-art technology. All of the kinds of equipment one would find something like PCBs used in manufacturing.
PCBs, now banned internationally, were used by the military in liquid form as fire-resistant insulators. They were routinely disposed of in landfills, along with other chemicals and solvents. If they leach into the groundwater, they bioaccumulate in the food chain and are stored in the body fat of animals and humans.
Is there a threat? Is it scary? It's a concern.
That's why Smolin wants to test streams near the military site and the water near the village. We trudge a few miles on spongy tundra covered with lichens and a skiff of new snow to sample freshwater ponds near the beach. There's no running water or sewage in Hooper Bay. These ponds are the village's main water supply.
It's either here or the store. And it's $6 a gallon, almost $7 for just 1 gallon. And that 1 gallon, with 3 people in my house, lasts about half a day. Everybody comes out here to get their water.
No one knows just what's in the water or if contaminants from Romanzov could ever migrate this far, but there's an urgency to find out. Living so closely with the land, any change, no matter how subtle, is noticeable to the Yupik people. They're finding bird eggs that are weak and leathery and seal pups that are born with deformities. This past summer, salmon, a staple of the Yupik diet, inexplicably turned up with burned bellies. Those who chose not to fish lost much of their winter's food supply.
No matter what you tell them, no matter what you tell them not to eat, they're going to do it anyway, because we've been on this diet for hundreds of years. Even I have had a hard time not fishing that 1 week. The only thing we can tell them is you eat and drink at your own risk, because we don't know what is in the water. We don't know what is in our foods. We have no idea.
The drinking water pond is covered with a layer of ice. Albert Simon chips through it. He's been trained to do the sampling, and he kneels near the open water to fill the bottles. He spent much of this past year doing this.
It's what I want to do, you know, because I want to help the community to learn, are we eating things that are hurting us, you know, or building up in our bodies? And I want to help our people, because there's so many people dying of cancer, you know, we got to find the solution, and the only way we're going to do that is through us, ourselves.
There's no evidence that human health problems here have any link to abnormalities in fish and wildlife or to Romanzov. But lacking other answers, the village looks over its shoulder to the military base on the bluff when the topic comes up. In a drab green office at Elmendorf Air Force Base in Anchorage, Scott Hansen, manager of environmental restoration, nods his head with a bit of resignation. The military has become accustomed to blame, he says, warranted or not.
If you're in Pittsburgh, you know, you might think, well, yeah, this stuff probably came from all these industries around here, but we're the only little radar site for 50 miles, and there's a seal we found right off the Cape that has PCBs or organochlorines or some other contaminants. Well, it must have come from that radar site. That's the conclusion somebody could easily draw.
Yet research has indicated that some toxics found in Alaska and Canada come from as far away as Asia, Russia.
Small levels of PCBs are showing up in, you know, in marine mammals and fish and other organisms in the Arctic with no apparent sources in the area. It's hard to figure that out.
While the military has embarked on a costly long-term remediation program, the Air Force fears a huge liability problem if it's blamed for every toxic substance found within the vicinity of a base.
So we're hoping, as a result of this study, we can distinguish between what might have, you know, originated from the site and what may actually just be ubiquitous. It's everywhere.
The Air Force and the village want the same thing, some answers. And within a few months, there will be preliminary results from the sampling.
And hopefully, you know, it's not as bad as we think it is. And if it is as bad as, you know, if it is pretty bad, well, my God, God help us. What can I say?
Elizabeth Arnold, NPR News, Hooper Bay, Alaska.
Pictures, a map, and more information about Hooper Bay can be found at our website, NPR.org.